From WRKF in Baton Rouge and WWNO in New Orleans, you're listening to Louisiana Considered. On the show today, Louisianans are preparing to see what they can see during today's solar eclipse. We'll talk with an organizer of one viewing event, and we'll find out about a puppet show that seeks to bring some joy to the impact of climate change on the Gulf Coast. That's coming up. But first, Louisiana won't have the best view of today's total solar eclipse. Most of the state will see about 85% totality. That's why a team of faculty and student researchers from multiple Louisiana University campuses headed west to Texas. They'll be launching a balloon carrying several experiments and a camera to record the view as the moon travels between the sun and the earth and casts a magnificent shadow. With more on this journey of discovery, LSU Department of Physics and Astronomy Research Associate Aaron Ryan joins us, along with one of the student researchers, Caroline Davis. Thank you both for coming on.
Hi, thanks for having us, Karen.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Ryan, quickly remind us what kind of view we're going to have here in Louisiana today.
So here in Louisiana, about 88% of the sun is going to be covered by the moon. So, you know, we should, you know, assuming that there's no clouds in the way, it should be, you know, noticeably dimmer outside. And if anyone has like solar viewing glasses or one of those pinhole viewers, they should definitely see, you know, a significant part of the sun covered up.
Now, remind us about the mission that you're on and where you're going.
Yeah, so we are taking five student teams to Hamilton, Texas. So that's going to be on the west side of the Path of Totality. And we're going to launch those on a weather balloon. So that's teams from LSU, Southeastern, McNeese, and Northwestern State University. And each of those teams, these are all student designed experiments. So the LSU team is looking at UV radiation. The Southeastern team is looking at some visible effects on the sun as the moon moves across the shadow. The McNeese team is looking at radiation effects, and the Northwestern team is studying ozone. And so we're going to launch those from Hamilton, Texas. And so the balloon will travel east. So hopefully we will be relatively near the center line of the eclipse when we are at our target altitude of 80,000 feet. And then we'll cut the balloon down and then we'll go recover it and everyone will get their data and get to do their analysis.
Caroline, what's your involvement with this project? What has the experience been like for you and the other students?
So I'm on the LSU team. I'm on a team of, I believe, six other students, and each of us takes a different role in building the payload. So there's one person who's built like the actual box that all the electronics sits in. There's one student who's been working on all the electronic stuff. And then there's one student who's been doing all the coding to collect all the data during flight, and then I've personally been working on how to analyze it here on the ground after the flight.
Well, Aaron, I know eclipses throughout time have been important sources of scientific discovery. Can you give us some examples?
I think the most famous example of that is the 1919 solar eclipse. That was sort of the first confirmation of the theory of general relativity. That's a pretty famous experimental result having to do with the Mercury being deflected by the gravity of the sun. And because Mercury was so close to the sun, you had to do that during the eclipse when the moon would make it visible. But there's a lot of pretty interesting scientific effects. So as the moon's shadow passes over the Earth, right, a lot of the energy from the sun is blocked out. So you'll get a significant cooling. So this year there's a NASA-led effort out of Montana State University. That's the National Eclipse Ballooning Project. And one of the things they're looking at are these things called atmospheric gravity waves. So as the cooling occurs, you get this pressure wave that propagates through the atmosphere. And there's actually a Louisiana team led by Delgado community college down in New Orleans who's participating in that project. So they're going to be launching balloons in Arkansas.
Wow, lots of Louisiana involvement in this total solar eclipse that's happening. We're talking with LSU Department of Physics and Astronomy Research Associate Aaron Ryan and student researcher Caroline Davis in Texas today to observe the total eclipse and conduct experiments. So Caroline, you're hands-on with this project. Can you give us some more details? What will you be doing?
So I work on a lot of the ground software for the flight. And so for our specific project, we need to know where the sun is in relation to our payload. So as the payload spins, I kind of tell us where we are in terms of the sun.
That's kind of important.
Yeah.
More than a little, huh, Aaron?
Yeah. It's extremely important, especially because the sensors they're using are highly dependent on, you know, how far away from the source that they're looking at, what angle.
Now, Aaron, when you all recover the payload, because the balloon will go up, at some point the payload will be clipped. It'll come back to the ground. I believe there's, if I remember how this works, a parachute will open so it won't crash on the ground. You all will recover the payload, the experiments, and then what happens from there?
So if all of the team's payloads have worked properly, all of their data should be stored on a local SD card on each of their payloads. So we fly a number of GPS trackers on it, both satellite and amateur radio base, and so we physically go recover it, and then everyone will get their data back, do their analysis, and then they'll present their results in a couple of weeks to all of the other teams.
So it's a joint launch, and you all will share the information that you learned from your experiments. That's awesome.
Yeah, and in fact, like I said, there's an ozone team and a UV team, and those two things are very related. So hopefully they can actually compare their data and, you know, get some collaborative, interesting results from that.
Aaron, an LSU team did some research during the last solar eclipse in the United States in 2017. What did you learn then?
So they were in Carbondale, Illinois, which is actually in the path of the eclipse today. So there is, you know, that's a unique thing where the eclipse is crossing over the same location relatively close together, only 7 years apart. And what they were looking at is they were actually trying to stream down video of the actual shadow on the Earth during the flight.
Now, Caroline, is this your first eclipse? Is this the first that you're actually participating in and as a researcher?
Yes, it is. The last eclipse in 2017, I was just a freshman in high school, so I'm very excited to be able to go to this one.
Well, what's going through your mind? What do you hope to learn?
Well, I mean, obviously, I hope to learn what the goal of our project is in observing the UV coming from different parts of the sun that you can't normally see. But I'm also just excited to experience it. Hopefully, it won't be raining.
Aaron, how are you feeling ahead of today's main event?
Well, honestly, I'm just hoping our launch goes off okay, that we are able to recover everybody's payloads. So I'm sort of just focused on the operations right now.
And Aaron, before I let you go, again, the significance of a total eclipse. I know you're not here in Louisiana because we're only going to have 85-87% totality.
Well, I think, like you said, you know, usually it's 20 years, 40 years between when you are able to see one of these events. So I think it's just a really significant, really unique experience for everyone, even if you don't have any specialized equipment or a telescope, right? If you are in the path of totality, you will see it get turned to night in the middle of the day and look like a sunset in, you know, all 360 degrees around the horizon.
Any advice for us here in Louisiana that won't have quite the complete view that you will have of the eclipse today?
Hopefully your listeners were able to get some solar eclipse glasses. And I think that'll be really, really interesting. But even if they didn't, you know, you can grab a strainer or a colander, you know, and you take it outside and you put it in the sun, and you'll see the shadows change from basically circles to little crescent moons across as the eclipse occurs.
LSU Department of Physics and Astronomy Research Associate Aaron Ryan, student researcher Caroline Davis, thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you.
From WRKF in Baton Rouge and WWNO in New Orleans, you're listening to Louisiana Considered. I'm Karen Henderson. Louisianans won't experience complete darkness today, but that's not stopping the excitement at viewing the last total solar eclipse across the U.S. for the next 20 years. At 1:48 this afternoon, the sky will dim when the moon passes between the earth and sun. Watchers in Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Lafayette will witness 81% to 87% coverage. The Louisiana Art and Science Museum in Baton Rouge is one of the many gathering points to view the site. Museum Communications Manager Marion Mayfield joins us now. Hello, Marion.
Hi, how are you doing, Karen?
I'm doing great. Excited. Marion, tell us what the buildup has been like there at the museum for this big event.
You know, we are just so excited. I'm sure you know that this is going to be the last one that the United States gets to view for the next 20 years. So we're trying to make sure that we are prepared as possible for our Baton Rouge community. We have our solar viewing glasses available on sale in the museum store that have been flying off the shelves. We have a lot of fun things planned.
Well, Marion, I know the museum held a viewing event for the solar eclipse. It was an annual solar eclipse back in October. It was a big turnout. What are you expecting for today?
We had such a great turnout in last October. We, of course, are hoping for a similar turnout, if not better. Downtown Baton Rouge is such a wonderful place for events like this. So we are hoping that people will join us today in the Yazoo Plaza from 12 to 3 to check it out.
What are your preparations for traffic? Are you anticipating a lot of people heading, flooding the area, as I'm thinking there will, because I know the museum is doing events. There are other places downtown that are holding viewing events.
Well, parking is always an issue downtown. Anyone that lives in Baton Rouge knows that that's always a challenge. But we are hoping that it won't be, you know, too much, that we'll have a nice steady flow. Of course, we have the glasses that people can use, you know, per person. So you can kind of take them and go with them, or you can view it on the eclipse on our solar eclipse filtered telescope. Binoculars. So we're hoping that maybe if parking is an issue, people can maybe, like, you know, park and take a nice walk. But we're not anticipating on a Monday for parking to be too much of an issue.
What are you most excited about for this eclipse?
So, I mean, I'm most excited that it's going to be our last one for, again, 20 years. The solar eclipse is going to be almost a total eclipse, not, you know, a complete total one here in Baton Rouge. But I mean, up to 87% is going to be noticeable. And again, I know that a lot of places around town are selling those glasses, but not everyone has a filtered telescope, you know, to get to really see the details up close, or the filtered binoculars. So it's something we're very excited about.
We're talking with Louisiana Art and Science Museum Communications Manager Marion Mayfield about plans for viewing today's solar eclipse. Marion, you have the special protective glasses for people that are viewing the eclipse, but you also have this area you're calling solar eclipse sidewalk viewing area. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the Yazoo Plaza is right next door to our museum. For those who are not familiar, the Louisiana Art and Science Museum is actually built inside of a historic railroad station, which used to be known as the Yazoo Railroad Station. And so we keep that name, the Yazoo Plaza, which is right next door. It's this nice area that gets, you know, some shade, but some sunshine. It'll be the perfect place for people to view the eclipse.
I think in October, it was in October, I was able to go, I didn't have the glasses, but I was able to go outside and through the leaves of trees and looking at the shadows that were cast, I was able to see the crescent shapes that were, that was my viewing of the solar eclipse.
Absolutely. We do have quite a few trees in our area downtown that'll be casting some wonderful shadows. We got some great pictures of that from our last eclipse in October.
Your planetarium has a presentation about eclipses. If this event's inspiring someone to learn more about astronomy, what are some ways that they can do that in Louisiana?
Well, like you said, in our planetarium, each season we have a different show that precedes some of our shorter shows. It's a short little show called The Sky Tonight. So with the recent March equinox starting our spring season, we're excited to feature this new installment before some planetarium shows throughout the next several months, where visitors can learn about not only what is happening in our sky tonight during the March and April and, you know, May months, but also learn more about the solar eclipse and why it's so special.
What about beyond the museum?
Beyond the museum, I mean, we also have the Highland Road Observatory Park. I know that they do fantastic things. We also partner typically with the Astronomical Society. They have some great literature and great activities happening around town all the time. So if you do not follow them on Facebook, I highly suggest that you do.
A lot of listeners right now might be preparing to catch the eclipse themselves. Can you give us some final tips on the best way to view it from here?
The best way to view the eclipse in Baton Rouge is to either come, you know, visit us at the Louisiana Art and Science Museum, visit our friends over at Highland Road Observatory, or, you know, just from the pleasure, the comfort of your backyard. Just be sure that you are being safe and we are not looking directly at the sun.
All right. And that advice could work for anyone, anywhere within the sound of our voices right now. Louisiana Art and Science Museum Communications Manager Marion Mayfield. Marion, thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me, Karen.
From WRKF in Baton Rouge and WWNO in New Orleans, you're listening to Louisiana Considered. I'm Karen Henderson. A new puppet show produced by a group of climate activists that tries to bring some joy to the impact of climate change on the Gulf Coast debuts today. The Coastal Desk's Hallie Parker followed the making of the show ahead of its showcase at the 10th Giant Puppet Festival in New Orleans.
I'm in a warehouse in New Orleans' St. Rock neighborhood. Most of the time, this place is a metalworking shop. But tonight, it's also a rehearsal space. Volunteers practice their scripts, mark their movements, flip through backdrops. But the stars of the show are actually sitting in the other room, leaned up against a wall. Sage Franz, one of the people behind the show, introduces me.
These are the giant puppets that we made.
When she says giant, she's not kidding. I'm face to face with huge puppets that tower feet above us. Sage says they were crafted over wire frames, stuffed with material, and covered with paper mache, with the help of dozens of artists. There's two puppets here, one of a black woman with vibrant yellow polka dot glasses.
And then James is our second puppet, and very similar. We put a hat on him, and he's kind of like got a big corduroy shirt on.
These puppets represent two active advocates based in Southwest Louisiana. James Hyatt has the hat, and Rochetta Ozane with her glasses. These puppets look eerily similar.
I was a little bit worried, but now looking at them, I'm really proud of the work that we did to just like make sure that they're as accurate as possible.
These two puppets are at the center of the story Sage and the rest of the group wants to bring to life. Sage is a campaign manager for the Sunrise Movement in New Orleans, and she says they were looking for creative ways to engage people. Tapping into the city's culture of costumes and parades seemed like a no-brainer. This show is a way to invite people into their movement.
There's a lot of pressure, you know, because these are like heroes of ours, and we wanted to make sure they really represented the people that we wanted to represent in a way that was like joyful and realistic.
Luckily, these puppets did not disappoint.
Are you ready to see a puppet show?
Yeah! Are you ready to see a puppet show?
The Sunrise Movement's giant puppets made its soft launch back in January at a march outside a gathering of oil and gas executives. The show was performed right outside, and the puppets' human counterparts gave rave reviews.
Pictures don't do it justice, it's so huge.
Advocate James Hyatt says the size of the puppets matches the size of the environmental problems and hopes it inspires more people to join.
This fight is not just about one person or two people, it's about all of us coming together.
Sage with the Sunrise Movement says she didn't really get the magic of puppets until doing this show. But John Bell, a puppeteer and historian with the University of Connecticut, says puppetry has a long relationship with activism across the world.
Part of puppetry's role is to act as a commenter, something that comments on the society in which the performances take place.
Protest and puppetry have gone hand in hand to critique all sorts of issues, from poking fun at monarchs in the 17th century to calling for an end to the Vietnam War. And lately, John says more demonstrations involve climate change. The puppets let you look at things from a different angle.
Even if the puppet is representing something negative, the distance allows you to step back a little bit. And you can deal with that in a way. You can laugh at it.
Now, the group has a big opportunity to spotlight the making of the performance in front of peers in the puppet world at the Giant Puppet Festival on April 8th. In New Orleans, I'm Hallie Parker.
From WRKF in Baton Rouge and WWNO in New Orleans, you've been listening to Louisiana Considered. I'm Karen Henderson. Thanks to our guests, LSU Department of Physics and Astronomy Research Associate Aaron Ryan and student researcher Caroline Davis, and Communications Manager for the Louisiana Art and Science Museum, Marion Mayfield. Our managing producer is Alana Schreiber. Our contributing producers are Matt Bloom and Adam Voss. We receive production and technical support from Garrett Pittman. Our assistant producer is Aubrey Procell. You can listen to Louisiana Considered Monday through Friday at noon and 7 p.m. on this station. It's available on Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Major support for Louisiana Considered provided by Rouse's Markets, a Louisiana shopping experience, with additional support from the Historic New Orleans Collection.